Hey church, happy Sunday, and I think it's close enough to be able to say Merry Christmas. I'm now in our home state of Alabama. I'm actually at my cousin's house in his studio, and he was so gracious enough to help us with the recording this week. But we are home in the U.S. right now, and having Christmas, spending the holidays with our family, it's been about 8 years since we've been back to Alabama to be with our family for the holidays. And so we're super excited. Our family is super excited, and it's just been a great time. But anyways, I am so excited about this series that we're in, The Cast of Christmas. We've been so blessed by the speakers that we've had these last couple of weeks and learned so much. And next week on Christmas Day, our very own Pastor Chris will be back sharing God's word with us. I know that he's been praying for all of you and working hard to prepare a special message of God's word to bring to you. So it is going to be a super awesome blessing for each one of us. But today I have the honor to be able to share about one of my favorite Bible people in the Bible, and it's Mary, the mother of Jesus. So we'll get right into it. You know, sometimes when we hear the Christmas story, I think that we can get a bit just used to hearing it, you know, the story, the Christmas story of Mary, the virgin that, you know, was greeted by the angel and that she gave birth to God's son. And it can just become like a normal story for us. But, you know, this week as I've been just praying and I've been just reading over the scriptures, and I was just once again in awe of this incredibly awesome event that happened. And I could hardly even read through the scriptures without crying, imagining just all that she went through. So we're going to get into that today. And I believe that God is going to touch your heart. But I decided to title this message, The Christmas Story Through Mary's Eyes. And this story begins with God's messenger, the angel Gabriel. He appeared in this small village. And the angel Gabriel, whose name means hero of God, appeared on Mary's doorstep one day. Mary was about probably 13 or 14 years old, living in this tiny village of Nazareth. Nazareth was actually so small that it didn't even appear on the maps in the first century. And Gabriel came looking for this girl who was about to play a monumental role in human history. And God chose her for the task of bringing his own son into the world. So she must have been a super special young woman. And let's start in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end.'" I mean, can you just ask yourself, like, why Mary? She actually carried God, the Son, in her womb. There was no one ever closer to God, and there was no one who had a greater connection to Jesus. But why? Why did God send the angel Gabriel to find this young girl, Mary? And I believe that God looks with favor on the lowly, that, you know, she was humble and she had a heart for God, and she was willing to wholly give herself to whatever God had asked her to do. So let's continue in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 34. In Mary's response, Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren or she couldn't have child, but she is with child with a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. And Mary responded, I love this part. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Man, I love her response. In another version, it says, I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. Basically, she's saying, I am your servant, God. You can use me in whatever way you want to use me. Man, wow. How awesome that this angel came to her, gave her this news, and she just immediately responded, yeah, I'm your servant. Use me however you want to. You know, for those of you guys that don't know me, Pastor Chris and I have 4 children. We have 1 daughter and 3 boys and 1 granddaughter and 1 granddaughter on the way. And God has really, truly blessed our family and blessed our life. But that wasn't always the case. We actually became Christians after we were married. We had been in a relationship for many years, and then shortly after we got married is when we became Christians. But we were actually high school sweethearts, and I got pregnant at the age of 14. And, you know, as you can imagine, I got pregnant at 14 and then had our daughter at 15. And then at 16, we got married. So here we are, 2 teenagers in high school, trying to be parents, trying to, you know, live as husband and wife. And we were just a mess. And shortly after we were married, someone came and shared the gospel with my husband, and then he gave his heart to the Lord. And then a few months later, I gave my heart to the Lord. And God just fixed our family, and he worked many miracles in our family. But thinking about how young Mary was, it just couldn't help but remind me of being a teenager and becoming a mother. And, you know, I remember when it came time for me to have my daughter in the hospital, I was having her in this hospital. It was more of like an inner city hospital. It wasn't really on the safe side of town. It wasn't really the hospital where you would get the best treatment. And, you know, and on top of that, being a teenage mom, I didn't really get the best treatment. And we were just talking about this recently, and it just kind of brought me back to that time. And I remember that, you know, the doctors in this certain hospital, they were actually not doctors yet. They were doctors in training. So I always said, like, I felt like I was a guinea pig, or we kind of say like an experiment patient. I felt like I was an experiment patient. And I remember when I was, it was actually right before I gave birth to my daughter, and the doctor comes in, the doctor in training comes in, and he gives me my epidural. And I remember it's like this long needle, and they put it in your back, and then inject the numbing medicine so that you're numb and you don't feel as much pain as you would without it. And so I remember he put the needle in my back, and then it somehow wasn't right, so he took it out, and then he had to put it in again, and it didn't work, and took it out, and then the third time had to put it in my spine, and then finally it worked. But that was just one of the just difficult situations that we experienced in that hospital. But, you know, I was just thinking about and remembering my stay there, and the nurses, how they weren't very kind to me. And I remember feeling like they looked down on me, probably because they knew I was in high school. They knew at the time I wasn't married. And during the birth, you know, the father of my child, which is my husband now, he was there with me, but it happened to be exam week for him during high school. He was in high school, so it was exam week that week. So as soon as our daughter was born, he had to go back to school. So there was a couple of days that I had to stay in the hospital, and my mom was working, my sister was working, the father of my baby was in high school, so I was alone. So I literally, you know, looked like this girl that was just a mess. And I remember feeling, you know, just so low and so insecure. And so it just reminded me of that, of thinking about Mary, and, you know, she's this, you know, engaged to be married to Joseph, and the angel shows up to her doorstep and and brings her this news that you are going to carry the child of, you're going to carry the Messiah. You're going to be pregnant with this baby. And for her to immediately be able to accept that task from God was so amazing to me. You know, aside from my experience from, you know, birthing my first child, I can't imagine what Mary must have gone through when she was accepting this great task. But when Mary was about 9 months pregnant, the King Caesar Augustus made an official order to make count of the population so that everyone had to return to their village to be counted. The Roman officials didn't care that she was 9 months pregnant. Her and Joseph were forced to make a 145-kilometer journey, and which they say that probably took around 9 or 10 days, and probably on foot by foot through the mountains and along the valleys. And for those of you that have been pregnant with child, you could just imagine what that might have been like for her to go through. But in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "When the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." You know, I had many insecurities because of being a young mom, but I can't imagine how insecure Mary must have felt to be pregnant even before she was even married to Joseph. You know, but in spite of any insecurities, the most powerful thing to me is that she still said yes to God. You know, I believe that when God was looking around and, you know, looking for someone to carry his son, he looked at Mary and knew, this girl will carry out my work. I mean, he must have known what kind of mom she would be. You know, God chose Mary for what could possibly be the most important job in all of history, bringing our Savior Jesus Christ into the world. She was the perfect, unlikely choice, which made her story even more amazing. But what if you could choose your mom? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Like, what if you could choose who you would want to be your mom? I mean, if you think about it, God did. I mean, think about all of the women of all of the times throughout all of history, and God chose Mary. I mean, that's a pretty high honor. That shows that there's something extra special about this girl. And the Bible also says that Mary was blessed among all women. And I just want to share this story. It's actually called The Christmas Story Through Mary's Eyes. It was written by a Christian author, Lenore Booth. And I believe that it really can help us to feel and understand what Mary must have been thinking. So as I read it to you, I want you to try to imagine teenage Mary writing this in her diary. "The day began like any other. Then suddenly there stood before me a radiant, shining being who said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Somehow I knew it was an angel, but why would an angel come to me, a poor young girl who lives in lowly Nazareth? And why would I be highly favored? He said, 'Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High.' I could make no sense of this, yet I felt my heart warm within me. I knew only that I trusted God. How will this be since I'm a virgin? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for nothing is impossible with God. I could say nothing, but I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then I was alone again, my heart brimming over with wonder and joy. But what would I tell Joseph? Joseph, my precious Joseph, my betrothed, my fiancé. Already we were considered married, but as was the custom, we were waiting out our year of engagement before we came together as husband and wife. What would Joseph say when he found out? What would he do? I felt a shiver of fear. He could accuse me in front of the elders and have me beaten in public. I would be disgraced alone, and this child would live in disgrace also. I sat a long time, praying, crying, trying to take it in. I swung from joy to sadness and back to joy and over again. Finally, I resolved to trust the Lord no matter what. Joseph was stunned to find out that I was pregnant as any man would be. At last, he said he cared too much for me to see me judged. That dear, righteous man would quietly seek a divorce. An angel of the Lord intervened and appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is inside her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." Joseph believed. Neither of us really understood, but we believed. God chose Joseph and me to be part of his miracle in sending his only son to earth. Joseph took me home, but we agreed, of course, we would not come together as husband and wife until after God's son was born. As I feared, the people in town whispered about my pregnancy. The men called Joseph a fool, but he paid no mind to them. He was my protector and my support. The emperor, Caesar Augustus, decreed a census should be taken of all the empire, Roman world. Joseph and I belonged to the line of David, so we had to go from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the city of David, Israel's greatest king. Bethlehem was about 70 miles away. It didn't matter that I was in my ninth month. We had no choice. Caesar ruled his empire with an iron fist. Can you imagine my discomfort? Sometimes I walked, and sometimes I rode side saddle on the donkey. Either way, I felt every jolt, every rock, every rut in the road. Toward the end of our journey, I neared the end of my strength. I held my aching belly as I walked. We were close to Bethlehem when I felt a sharp pain down low in my belly. I knew my time to give birth was coming soon. Yet we had no place to stay. Joseph searched the town, pounding on doors, frantically inquiring of innkeepers. There were no rooms, not anywhere. There was no place for us. At least one kind man took pity and told us we could stay in his stable. A stable for God's son? Oh, well, at least we would be out of the cold air and might have a bit of privacy. The innkeeper lent us a small oil lamp. We watched as its light danced and flickered on the rough walls and listened to the soft sounds of the animals. Joseph did what he could. He spread out a garment for me and helped me lie down on it. What a relief. My swollen feet throbbed and my whole body ached. We had only the warmth and the smell of the animals, only our love for each other, only the waiting for God's son to be born. Then the labor pangs began in earnest, growing quickly and stronger. I know not how long I labored, trying not to scream. Joseph stayed by my side, his eyes filled with tears as he stroked my forehead and whispered my name over and over. I still hear him, "Mary, Mary." The urge to push grew so strong I could not resist. With one final push and a long sigh, my labor was over. God's son, the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah, was born. I could not hold back tears of joy. I looked into my baby's face and wondered what the future might hold for this little one. Then I wrapped him in some soft cloths I brought with me. After a while, I laid the child on top of fresh hay Joseph had spread in the manger, the cleanest place in that cattle barn. We never could have imagined what would come next. A group of shepherds burst into the stable. They went to the manger and gazed down at Jesus and then bowed down in worship. I saw a glow on their faces as if they already knew who he was. After a while, they told us what brought them to the manger. They were out on the Bethlehem hills as usual, guarding their sheep against the thieves and animals' attack. And suddenly, everything around them shone bright and they fell to the ground. And then an angel appeared and said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Before they could speak a word, the sky filled with the great company of angels, all of them singing and praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men." Just as suddenly, the angels were gone. The shepherds could hardly contain themselves. One said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this wonderful thing." So they abandoned their sheep and they ran as fast as they could to find the Savior, Christ the Lord, there in that lonely manger, just as the angel said. Why were any of us surprised? Centuries before Jesus was born, there lived a prophet of God named Isaiah. He foretold that a virgin would be with child and give birth to a son who would be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. As for me, I never stopped thanking God for choosing me to be part of that glorious night. And I never got used to the fact that when God stepped into our world, almost no one paid attention. And I want to ask you today, are you paying attention? You know, I believe that there's three things that Mary experienced in her life that we can learn from her on how she handled it. Because there must have been something amazing and something special about her that God would choose her to bring forth this amazing task. And so I have three points to share with us today. The point that I want to share with you today is that there was an interruption in Mary's life that day, and she was available. You know, how many interruptions have we faced this year? I mean, I think that we could all agree that 2020 has been pretty much a year full of interruptions. You know, I love in Luke, all of a sudden it says, Gabriel appeared to Mary and he said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." You know, in other words, basically, if we could just speak it in today's terms, we could say, you know, the angel showed up and said, "Hey, don't be afraid, Mary, 13-year-old Mary, don't be afraid, but you're pregnant. Yes, you're still a virgin, but you know what? You're pregnant and you're going to be called names. Your life will be in danger, but don't worry because you're highly favored." And, you know, I can tell you when I got pregnant at the age of 14, and I got the news that I was going to be a mom, my life was interrupted. You know, my high school life was interrupted. My friends and my social life was interrupted. I remember my sleep life was even interrupted. My life was completely interrupted. But many times, you know, your life has interruptions, whether it's because of consequences of what you did, or maybe it's just for situations that just come up. But I believe that God would want us to learn from Mary on how to respond to them, that she had this posture of being available to God. And man, one thing I love about her is that she didn't doubt that God was going to use her to make a difference in the kingdom of God, that she knew she was a village girl. She knew that she was from this small town of Nazareth that wasn't even on the map, but she also knew God. And you know, when this messenger angel came to her that day, she was available. She says, "Hey, you know what? Whatever it is that you've said to me, let it be done." And I believe that that is the heart that God wants us to have for him. You know, as we, you know, end, or we're coming close to the end of this year, 2020. And I believe that many of you have experienced interruptions that have been uncomfortable, you know, that maybe just showed up one day and you've had to face some things that you weren't expecting. But I love how there was this interruption in Mary's life that day, and she was available. And God did the greatest miracle, I believe, that the world has ever seen. And God brought salvation to the earth through this little teenage girl because she was available. And I believe just the same that God is looking throughout this earth and he's looking for his followers and he's looking to see who is available that could, you know, take an interruption in their life, in their everyday life. And when he, you know, calls, or when he wants to call us to do something for him and his kingdom, he is wanting us to have this heart that is available. Could you imagine the things that God wants to do in your life? You know, I'm thinking about many of you, and I know many of you and your stories, and I've heard a lot of the things that you've experienced even during this year and during this pandemic. But what I do know is that there is no coincidence in God. And I know that, you know, when bad things come sometimes, what the enemy intends for evil, God turns to good. And when we keep our eyes focused on Him and when we keep our hearts intimately with Him, that He will lead, He will guide, He will guard your steps. And so that's what I want to pray with you today, is that we would be able to see the interruptions in our life, the interruptions through this year, and see them as God wanting to do something in our life. And all we need to be is available. That's all He's asking for you. You never know what kind of things that God wants to use you with and what God wants to do in your life by just being available. So let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank You, God, for every person, Lord, listening right now. Lord, I know that, Lord, You are at work in their heart. God, I pray if anyone is listening and they have not received You as their Lord and Savior, that God, today is the day of salvation for them. That God, I pray that they would be able to experience You and ask You into their heart, Lord, so that You can live in their heart, Father. And I thank You, Lord, God, for the ones that are listening, that when I mentioned this about interruptions, Lord, God, it really resonated in their hearts. Because I know a lot of times when we walk through things that we just focus on those negative parts. But God, I believe that today, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You are changing our perspective, Lord, that what we once saw as negative interruptions, that God, You can change our perspective, God, that we can see that You are definitely working in our life, God. In whatever situation, Lord, my brother or my sister is going through, that You are working in that situation. Father, I pray that, God, today that You would renew hope, Lord, where there was hopelessness, that, God, You would build the faith of Your people, Lord, today, God, that they would be able to know and see that Your hand is on them, that, God, You are with them, Father. And, God, that, Lord, You have a great hope and a great future for them. And just like Mary, Lord, God, that she didn't even think twice. Lord, she understood that there was an impossible situation. She was a virgin that was going to be pregnant and with child. But Lord, she immediately said, whatever You say, Lord, let it be. Let it be done to me. I'm Your servant. And God, that's what we pray today, God. Lord, we are Your servants. And so whatever it is that You want to do in our life, Father, let it be, God. And Lord, I thank You, Father, for what You're going to do. And I thank You for this miracle, Lord, that we can still read about 2,000 years later, Lord, where You sent Your Son, Lord, through this young girl, Mary. And we can read about her and her life and her humility, oh God, today. And God, that it can minister and help us, Lord, in our walk and our relationship with You. Lord, we love You so much. God, I ask that You would cover these words, that You would bless the listeners, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I thank you so much for joining in today. I hope that you have an awesome week, that you tune in on Christmas Day for a special Christmas message from Pastor Chris. And then next Sunday, we have the last of our series, The Cast for Christmas. We have one more special message. So don't miss it. And I hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas. God bless. Love you all so much.